Simply titling it The Blessing. And the main scripture that I want to get right into it comes from Proverbs chapter 10, and it's one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible. And we can put up that scripture. It says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow besides." It makes one rich, and God adds no sorrow with it. And I believe that, you know, as we enter this season, this year, where we're going to believe God for resources, we're going to believe God for freedom for our future, we believe God for, you know, an abundance, and that the people of the rock, that God's going to supernaturally help. I want to just put before you that all of us want the blessing of God. And we want this kind of blessing. There is a blessing of the world, which often comes, you know, with sorrow. Maybe a person gets killed in a wrongful death suit or whatever, and finances come or blessing comes, but there's sorrow attached to it. A lot of people who win the lottery, you know, they get this, you know, the huge amount of money, but there's whole websites full of how unhappy it makes them. And many of times it brings trouble as much as it brings help. And you know what, we can... You know, people can try and make money in a drug deal, and, you know, they may get the tangible dollars, but, you know, it's going to bring sorrow with it. It's going to bring maybe, you know, an overdosed teenager or some terrible tragedy that can come with it. And that's not the blessing of God, just because you get something. I want that type of blessing. I want the type of blessing that has no sorrow attached to it. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. And God does not bring any sorrow with it. And so I want to just share on what I've understood over these years. And the person who's really had the greatest impact in my life in this area, probably two people. One is Reinhard Bonnke, and secondly is Pastor Jim Cobray. Because they've taught me principles about living in the blessing of God. Now I want to say, I know that Pastor Dan defined the blessing as the capacity to succeed, is what was shared this morning. And to me, that is a tangible, good definition. However, I want to take it a step further, that I believe that the blessing of God is a tangible, it's a tangible entity or something that rests on our lives. You cannot see it. But it's an anointing, it's a grace, and it's the hand of God around us. When you look at the book of Job, which is, you know, one of the most difficult books to understand, but the one thing I do understand about Job, number one, that this trial that Job went through only lasted about 9 months. He was the richest man in the East, and he had double when he finished the story. But Job had this testing from God where the devil said to God, "He's only serving you because you're blessing him and you're protecting him." But what I get out of the story was how much protection we do have every day. Because the moment that God removed the hedge of protection, I mean, everything just, he lost his, you know, he lost everything. His cattle, his wealth, his health, his, you know, you name it. He lost just about everything in his life. And I realized how much God does protect us every day. We're alive every day because of the blessing of God, because of the goodness of God. But the Bible says that we as believers can press into a new dimension. We can go to another place. There is a place which is the blessing of God that makes you rich with no sorrow that comes with it. And I want us just to share a few principles tonight going into that. Is that okay? Let's pray. Father, we ask your anointing upon tonight. I pray your blessing would rest upon your people tonight. I pray revelation, understanding, wisdom, God, that you would impart, Father, your anointing and your, Lord, your grace tonight to the hearers, Father. I pray your word would find fertile soil, that, Lord, out of this group here, that people will come to experience the blessing of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the blessing of God, as Pastor Dan, he shared about this morning, that that it's a result of beliefs that are acted upon. And that's really, like I say, he ended where my first point was. The Word of God is always a foundational pillar concerning the blessing of God. The belief that we act on God's word, that we're obedient to it, that we do it, you know, you can never ever get aside from that. And I just want to give you just a few scriptures. We'll put up the first one, Psalm 1, where it says, blessed is the man. Everybody say blessed.
Blessed.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His law, in his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. How many want that? That your delight has to be in the word of God. Now, this is a very powerful Jewish understanding, going back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. That's not going to come up on the screen, but I want you to put yourself in the place of receiving this blessing. This is what God says if you obey the word of God. And when Pastor Dan and Pastor Jim and the leadership of the church, you know, share every single service now, they say, if you just give us 1 year of your life, to let the word of God sink in, to let the word of God permeate, to, you know, on Sunday night, you're the hungry ones because you want more than just the Sunday morning. And if you just take 1 year and let that word really touch you, I want you to just receive it. Listen to this. It's not going to be on the screens. Deuteronomy 28, you can look it up afterwards. This is just listen to the words. If you fully obey the Lord your God, carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction. They will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you want that blessing? And so I want to just, you know, bring forth the idea to you that there is a place that every believer can live in the blessing of God. And number one, it does require that we have a commitment to the word. We have a commitment to say, God, whatever your word says, I'm going to conform my life to your word. I'm not going to do the other way around, try and bend your word to my thinking. I'm going to bring my life into the word of God, and I'm going to make the word of God something that is so powerful and strong in my life. I want the blessing of God. And the Bible says, if you will just carefully follow his word, all of these blessings, it actually goes on to much more. Now it is followed by what happens if you don't do that. That there are curses that can come, but let me tell you, as a Christian, the Bible says a curse without a cause will not alight. It will not land on you. You cannot be cursed if you're walking in the blessing of God. The children of Israel, you know, the Bible says they were a whole nation, and Balaam tried to curse them. The king Balak hired this soothsayer, this witch doctor in today's terms, and said, I want you to curse that nation. And when he went to try and curse them, God said, you cannot curse what I have blessed. If you've been blessed by God, you're protected. There is a tangible protection, and a curse will not alight on you. So we want that type of blessing. So the very first area, I'm not going to go much deeper because Pastor Dan carried it, he covered it wonderfully this morning, is the Word of God is connected to the Word of God, and the Word of God is what brings the first phase of getting blessed by God. And that's why coming into church and letting that Word touch you is the absolute first step towards moving into the blessings of heaven. Now number two, and I want you to take notes because you may want to go through these. When you say, God, I want to see your blessing in my home. See, I wrote a whole book called Unlocking the Abraham Promise. The Abraham Promise, God swore an oath to Abraham, which is a same promise is for you and I in the church. And that promise, God said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you offered your son, your only son. He said, in blessing, I will bless you. I'll multiply your seed like the stars in the sand. You'll possess the gate of your enemies, and all the nations of the entire earth will be blessed because you obeyed my voice. Now, so to me, I mean, I pray that blessing on my family. I believe in the blessing of God. I love the African people because the African people have a tremendous sense of His blessing. If you go to an African home and you say, you know, can I give you just some money? They say, no, pray God's blessing on my home. They have a tangible sense that when you bless somebody, that something is transmitted, something comes into play. And the blessing of God is something we can give away. And through Christ in us, all the nations of the earth can receive the blessings of God. And we want to be blessed to bless others and to be a blessing. Are you with me, church? Amen. So number one, it's connected to the Word of God. Number two, blessing is connected with unity. Now, my wife Lisa is 27 years married to a fiery Italian whose family has connections to dubious elements in the Italian families, what we can say. And, you know, she may only, you know, she may be short in stature, but let me tell you, she's full of fire. But we have survived 27 years and we've had a wonderful marriage. One of the reasons is that we have made a decision. We will never go to bed, you know, without reconciling and making up and making sure there's unity between us. Sometimes it's 3, 4, 5 in the morning. Sometimes it's not easy, but let me tell you, it's a very good policy. Now, I don't just do it because I fear the, you know, Italian element in her family, which I do, but don't worry about that. That's not my primary motivation. My primary motivation is that I want God's blessing to rest on my home. I want the unity of God to be in the family. I want somehow the anointing of God. And I know that where there's unity, the Bible says He commands the blessing. I read this in my daily reading. Actually, it came up this morning. Psalm 133. It'll come up on the screen. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Where there is unity, there is peace. Where there is the unity of God, where there's unity in a home, when there's unity in a business, when there's unity in a family, when there's unity in a city, when there's unity in a nation, the blessing of God is commanded. Now we're looking, some people just, you know, they're single issue Christians. They say, you know, well, God, you know, if I just give money that, you know, I just like a slot machine that I'm going to just get back. Let me tell you, the blessing of God is multifaceted. When I'm giving you these principles, you can, you know, you can be sitting under the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, but you can be at odds with your brother or sister, and the blessing of God does not rest upon your home. You've got to do all of these things. Or you've got to strive towards them. You've got to have say, God, I want these things. And they may be something that you're pursuing. But today, I pray tonight will be a defining moment where you say, God, I'm going to seek the blessing of God upon my family. I want the blessing of God that makes me rich, that doesn't bring any sorrow. No sorrow with it. Amen? So, unity is the second area. But number three, Pastor Jim has preached about it a lot over the last, a few months has been, you know, the whole story of the ark being moved by David, bringing it to Jerusalem. Because the presence of God brings the blessing of God. The presence of God. You know, I can tangibly feel when Pastor Jim pronounces a blessing at the end of a service here. And all the pastors do that as we close out and we say, I lift up my hands and I'm, God, I'm so hungry. I can feel that presence and I'm, Lord, I partake and I receive the tangible blessing of heaven. Because where the presence of God is, sometimes I just want to stay in worship. I don't even want them to go into the rest of the service because I'm just sensing the presence of God. I'm saying, God, just pour out your blessing. Pour it out. pour out healing, pour out your love, pour out your peace. You can sense His presence. And when His presence is coming, the blessing of God is released into your life. Amen? In 2 Samuel 6, verse 12, we'll put it up on the screen. Blessing is connected with the presence of God. 2 Samuel 6, 12 says, "Now I was told King David, saying, 'The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God.' So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness." You know what? Where God's presence was, and David was kind of envious because he's like, presence of God's in that guy's house, and everything he has touched is blessed. Everything that he's touched. And so we need to cultivate the presence of God. It can be with worship music. It can be whatever it is that brings the presence of God into your life and in your time of prayer and your time of seeking God. But you need to learn to not only have the presence of God when you come into church, but also when you go back into your homes and your businesses and your places. We start our, and we're very privileged because we're a ministry. We have prayer 7 times a week. I refuse our business to start our day without half an hour of prayer and seeking God and cultivating the presence of God, because I want the presence of God to flow into my ministry so that the blessing of God will come with it. And people don't realize that these things are all connected, but they are. Amen? So number one, it's connected with the Word of God. Number two, it's connected with unity. And number three, it's connected with the presence of God. But then the Bible says that that blessing is also connected with people, especially with God's people. In fact, specifically with God's people. There is a tangible blessing upon certain people's lives. And I try to cultivate as many relationships with people who have the blessing of God on their lives as I possibly can. You know, my father used to say, if you sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas. And he was talking about certain bad elements of society. That if you hang around the wrong people, and if you hang around the wrong environment, and you hang around the wrong type of people, those things will affect you. You can say, oh, well, you know, I'll help win them to the Lord. You know, let me tell you, watch how long you hang around them. But if you hang around people that carry the blessing of heaven, and it just seems there are certain people that whatever they touch, God blesses it. When they walk into the room, you can sense the presence of God. You know that the presence of God is carried by those people. I was blessed to work 3.5 years with Reinhard Bonnke. I traveled all over the world. We flew on airplanes. My wife and I, you know, lived next door to him, and we worked day and night. But let me tell you, when he walked in a room, you felt the presence of God. The blessing of God was on what he did. And so we need to learn to recognize the presence of God on people. Those are the people we want to hang around. And we need to become one of those people. Amen? That whatever we do, people want to hang around us because they know that what we touch, God blesses it. When we moved out here to the Inland Empire, we actually, the first recording we ever did in the sanctuary was a recording for the underground church in China on prophecy, because there were so many crazy things happening in the prophetic movement in China that they asked us for some real, solid, corrective teaching that would really bring forth the prophetic word in a true sense. There is true prophecy, and then there's weird prophecy. It's crazy prophecy. And you don't want to get in this ditch over to the side where you're in the weird stuff. So we did a recording, and we brought in 2 people that were very powerful. They were from Canada, and these people had never knew our ministry, and we were actually just laying the plans to move out to the Inland Empire. And we had our first meeting, and the man who was bringing this message, he began to prophesy over my wife and I. And this is what the Lord said. The Lord said, I'm about to lift the ceiling off your ministry. You know what? You can have a ceiling over your life. And when us coming to a church like this, we came to a church where there's an open heaven. We came to a church where we could grow, where the blessing of God has no limits, where there's nothing trying to stop it, nothing trying to break it or hinder it. And let me tell you, that's what draws us back again and again to the rock, because it's a church with an open heaven. And we're very blessed to have that because there's many churches that don't have it. Amen? So the anointing of God is carried on people. And then people are walking in that blessing and you hang around them, you partake of it. Genesis 39, we read about the story of Joseph. Joseph was kidnapped by, he was actually sold by his brothers, thrown in a pit, put in chains, sent down to Egypt, sold as a slave. And he ends up in a guy's house. You know what? It's interesting. You'd think he's a slave and he would just be, you know, pushed down. But the owner, Potiphar, who had bought the slave, he realized that whatever Joseph did, whatever he was around, was blessed. And so he began to say, well, can you oversee this area? And suddenly God's blessing came on it. And this is what the Bible says about Joseph. Let's put it up on the scripture here, up on the screen. In Genesis 39, verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So in verse 5, it goes down and says, so it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Now, it didn't mean that Potiphar was really serving God. In fact, we know that he wasn't. We know that his wife was wicked, tried to commit adultery with Joseph. We know that there was a lot of problems in the situation. However, the blessing of God came because of Joseph. Now, let me tell you this. You can carry the blessing of God no matter whether your boss serves God or doesn't. No matter what happens in your family, whether they serve God or don't. The moment you walk in the door, the blessing of God will walk in the door. God will prosper everything under your hand because you carry the blessing of God. The blessing of God is carried by people. And you can have that blessing over your life. You can have the blessing that makes you rich and adds no sorrow to it. And so Joseph, you know, he was put in prison again. He was thrown in a dungeon. And it was only a short matter of time where the entire prison was run by Joseph. And then he has these dreams, and Pharaoh has these dreams, and you know, suddenly Joseph's put into the kingdom, and Pharaoh says, everything in my kingdom, put it under Joseph. Because what happens is the blessing of God will flow like that anointing oil from Aaron's head. It'll flow down over everything that you're over. Your children, your family, your business, your work, your city, everything else. You carry the blessing of God. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise the Lord. We can carry the blessing of God into every part of life. I don't know how much there's more to say on the next one, which is that the blessing of God is connected to faith. You know, I told you that I learned a lot from Reinhard Bonnke. And, I mean, we're talking about a person with extraordinary faith for the blessing of God. Extraordinary. We saw miracles of God's provision that were just incredible. And he built his tent. It was over 400,000 Deutschmarks. And he said, Lord, I'm not borrowing a single cent. On the day that it was due, he was in Africa and a wire came from Germany for the exact amount that was needed to pay off. We're talking about $500,000 here. From a lady who had never given to their ministry before. Reinhard knew that something was there. We didn't have the same internet stuff we have today. But so when he went back to Germany, he called up the lady. He said, lady, you know, you've never given to us before. Why did you send such a magnificent sum of money? And the lady said, I don't normally give to you. As you could see, she had never given. She said, but I was worshiping and praying in my room one night. The telephone rang and an angel spoke to me and said, I want you to send this amount of money to Reinhard Bonnke and to his account in Africa. She said, the glory of God filled the room. She sent the exact amount that was needed to pay off the tent. Somebody later on gave and sent a gold bar to him. No return address. Do you know how much a gold bar weighs? No return address? Over $1 million Deutschmarks. And these type of miracles would happen so amazingly in Reinhard's ministry. And I was, you know, when you're around that, and the reason why I really respect the blessing of God on people's lives. When I meet somebody who's really blessed of God, I try to have them pray for me. I say, just, you know, can I have a little bit of your blessing? Can you pray? Do you know what? You can communicate and you can impart blessing to people. Jesus took children and blessed them. I try and do everything I can to reach out and bless and bless and bless. In blessing, we'll bless us. Amen? And so, you know, when we started doing the International School of Ministry, I mean, I was just putting my tiptoes in the water, and I was flying to Africa to see my family, and I said, I'm going to stop off in Germany and spend a day with Reinhard. And went to him, and at that time he was doing a little booklet. It was called Minus to Plus. And he needed millions and millions of dollars. I think 6 million pounds he needed to be able to put one of these little booklets in every home. 26 million homes in the United Kingdom. He put one in every single home. He didn't have hardly the resources. He literally lives on that supernatural waters of God. And so, in my heart, I was trying to trust God for $100,000. And I needed it by January, and it was November. And I stopped off, and we spent an afternoon together, and we were talking, and I was saying, Reinhard, you know, I just don't know how I'm going to get this money. I mean, it's just like an impossible amount, and I've been a missionary in Africa, and I just don't know how in the world one can get this kind of funds. And as I'm speaking with Reinhard, the phone rings. He says, one moment. Gets up, hello. Star rattles off in German, and then puts the phone down, and comes down, and he sits down again. He says, that was the printer. He says, he tells me he needs 2 million Deutschmarks by Thursday. Well, I think it was Tuesday. He needed 2 million Deutschmarks by Thursday. I just needed 100,000 in about 2 months' time. And suddenly I realized how his faith had grown. Because God was always providing supernaturally for him. You see, learning to walk in the blessing of God requires faith. It requires putting those timid steps and taking a little step out and saying, God, I'm going to trust you for this. And, you know, it's amazing when you start to take those steps into the blessing of God. But it takes faith. And the faith may start, you know, very, very small. With me, it was just at that point, it seemed like it was huge. But God supernaturally helped us. In fact, we purchased $36,000 worth of translation booths. And I put $19,000 on my American Express card. Which my wife looked at me and said, honey, you better have heard of God from God. Now, I'll make this point. I am not recommending that. I have never done it again. And that was a one-time test of God in my life. And it was not Visa or MasterCard. It was American Express. Has to be paid right away. Are you with me, church? One of those translation booths is in the back there, used for translation here at The Rock. We purchased 14 for the different nations of the earth. But you know what? It's brick by brick, step by step. Learning to trust God for a little bit here, a little bit there. And the blessing of God is something that grows in your life. It's something that you grow from Joseph's life. It started in Potiphar's house. Then it went into a dungeon and then it ended up being a whole nation. But God didn't take him straight to the whole nation. He taught him to grow in the blessing of God. Are you with me, church? So we need to have, you know, faith to bring about the blessing of God. Now, that's number 5. Number 6, and we're almost done here. Blessing is connected with the tithe. This is one that a lot of people don't want to understand. But I'm just going to give you what God's Word says. And I'm going to give you that my years of experience from the moment that I learned about the tithe and I learned about the blessing of God connected with it, that I decided to test God. That I stepped on those waters. Now, I will never... You could not get me to keep the tithe. The Bible says that we don't give the tithe. We bring the tithe. The tithe belongs to God. We give an offering above the tithe, but the tithe, the Bible says, the first fruits belongs to God. And it's not according to, you know, how much we give. If we panhandle on the corner and get $3 and give 50 cents, we actually give more than somebody who earned $1 million that week and gave $100,000. It's a percentage of what you got. If you got nothing and you got $1 and you give 10 or 15 or 20 cents, you know what? You've given more than other people who've given a huge amount. And Jesus said, when a woman gave 2 mites, she had the tiniest amounts, like 2 pennies, and she put it in the offering. Jesus called his disciples and says, that woman's given more than all those other people that were dumping thousands into the coffers. She said, because she gave everything she had. She says, according to what God gives you. But the first fruits belongs to God. And the first tenth of what God gives in our lives, if you want God to bless everything you have, you honor him by saying, God, this came from you. I'm taking the first part of it and I'm returning it back. I'm bringing it into your house and I'm putting it in your kingdom. And I'm acknowledging your lordship over my life. And I'm acknowledging that my abundance, my protection, and my blessing comes from you and you alone. And the tithe is not an afterthought. To me, it's a holy thing. I'm so blessed and privileged to be able to honor God with the first fruits of what he gives me. And let me tell you, it releases blessing. So let's look at the scripture concerning this. In Malachi chapter 3. And this is probably the most toughest point, so I just want you just to receive it. I want you to let the word of God, because this is completely about God's blessing coming into your future and into your life. It starts off where the Bible says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. Malachi chapter 3 verse, 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. You've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. There's such incredible promise there. It's the only place in the Bible God says, test me, prove me. He said, I challenge you. I challenge you to prove me. I challenge you to test this in your life. And so whatever God gives us, I teach my kids when they would get, you know, $20 from grandma. All right, set aside the $2 and put it in the house of God. And from an early age, I think it was David Rockefeller said, if you can't learn to give $10 on 100, you'll never be able to give 100 on a million or 100,000. See, it's a principle you learn in your life. You put it into practice and you test God and you put that into your life. And let me tell you, if there's one thing that releases not only the blessing of God, but there's a secondary side of this, it's protection. There is a devourer in this world. There is a devil. There is one who wants to take what you get and suddenly he, you know, I had this money yesterday and it's gone tomorrow. Something, you know, is not making sense. It seems like I had money, but it's gone. It just disappears. And it's amazing when you put this principle into effect that it's like it just spends so much better. My daughter came back from university. She's in law school. And she needed these expensive legal outfits. I mean, you know, when girls go shopping and they go for, you know, executive wear. She's in her second year of law school and she's now going into that thing. You know, and I'm expecting, oh my goodness, she has to buy 3 executive outfits. It was 70% off. And it was just that day, just the morning that she came in. She got all three, and I came back, and she was sort of thinking, Dad, it cost this much. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's wonderful. Because it's amazing, the blessing of God will cause so much to come into your plate. God says, test me, prove me. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. You know, the other side of this, and I'm not sure how much to share, because this is a real story that happened of a man in Nigeria who was actually raised from the dead. And it's a story, it's not a story, it's a real event that happened in a church in the city of Onitsha, of a man who was 3 days dead. In fact, when he died, he was a pastor. God gave a scripture to his wife that women will see their dead raised back to life again. And so this event happened in the 90s, right after we had left Nigeria. And people don't really know, but we had an apartment on the compound of the senior pastor of that church where it happened. Reinhard was actually preaching in that church that day. They brought the body into the basement. The man had been dead over 2 days. And the people gathered, believers gathered around him, and they prayed. And it took about 6 hours, but suddenly he began to twitch. They began to massage his body. And after 6 hours, he began to sit up, and he came back to life. It's the most extraordinary miracle I think that I ever heard. And it was not really Reinhard that really, you know, was involved. He never laid hands on the guy, but there was an atmosphere of the presence of God that came upon that church. We know the senior pastor of that church, Dr. Paul Nweke. I took Pastor Jim to that church to go and minister, and we preached in his church back in the early 90s, maybe 1998 or 91. We went together and preached in that man's church. I know, because I set up Reinhard Bonker's television ministry, I know the people that produced the video on it. But it's an extraordinary story of how that man, you know, he died and God showed him heaven and hell. And he looked into the flames of hell when he was there, because when he came back to life, he was saying, where are my notes? Where are my notes? Because I felt like he had been writing things down when he was going through this experience. But the man clearly accounts that as he looked into the flames of hell, he saw a pastor that he knew. And the pastor called and said, can you help me to return the money I stole right away? This was a pastor who was in hell. He had stolen funds from the kingdom of God. And I don't share that in terms of setting doctrine or anything like that. But what I do share is that we all need to have a real sense of the fear of God when it comes to God's resources. We all need to very carefully handle, because some of the greatest judgments in the scriptures are all regarding to how we handle the resources He gives us. And I personally have such a conscience in this area. And I want to have a conscience. I never, never want to touch anything that belongs to God. It's one thing to steal from man. It's another thing to rob God. It's much more worse, and you're not going to get away with that one, let me tell you. The Bible says that we need to be very cautious. And, you know, we may think, oh, well, it's just a nice thing to do, whatever. Let me tell you, it is one of the greatest signals as to who's Lord in your life. It's who's Lord over your checkbook. It's one of the greatest ways you can tell. If a person does not fear God and doesn't mind to take the tithe and spend it for themselves, then, you know what? They don't fear God in a lot of other areas of their life. If I see in my staff, they know that the one thing they can be let go for in our ministry is if you don't tithe. Why? Because the Bible says it's a curse. And remember, the curse not only affects you, it affects your family, it affects your children, it affects everything underneath you. And the blessing of God is the same way, that if everybody in our ministry is tithing, the blessing of God permeates everything we do. God says, I will open the windows of heaven and I will pour out a blessing that there's not enough room to receive it. Amen? And you know, we want the blessing. We want God's blessing. And I only say this because in my heart, I'm, you know, not a salary by this church. I'm not a part of, I'm a part of this church as a member. And I do this because I'm trying to impart to all of you the principles that will bring God's blessing over everything you touch. And let me tell you, this one is one of the largest and biggest and most important that you will ever, ever learn. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. We need to after that. The Bible promises protection and everything else with it. Finally, is the area of participating with God. And the scripture that I had shared with Pastor Jim last night was, he said that if he had to rechange the name of the ministry, if he had another ministry that God had not called this church the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, he would have named this church the Little Boy's Lunch Ministry. Because you know what? It seems like what we have sometimes just seems like nothing. And this parable of this little boy that brought his 5 loaves and his 2 fish to Jesus. So often it seems like that's what we're doing. You know, we're bringing what we bring in here and we're like, oh my goodness, Lord. I mean, how's this going to make a difference? But there's something about the blessing that came upon that little kid. The blessing that then permeated and fed 20,000 people, was 5,000 men plus women and children. But let me just go a little further. Do you realize that that story, I believe, got into all 4 of the Gospels? And you realize that that story has propagated through the ages, has gone down the years and the generations, and is reaching us even here 2,000 years later, that we're speaking about a little boy who brought his bread and his fish. Now, that little kid had a name. Maybe it was Nathaniel or Joseph or whatever it was. But that little kid had a name. And that kid released blessing by a sacrificial gift. And he took what little he had and he put it in the hands of Jesus. And God executed a miracle. And I'm believing God that that's what's going to happen at the Rock. Over these next years, as we take our little and we put it in the hands of Jesus, that the blessing of God's going to make us rich. No sorrow with it. And God's going to do a miracle. And He's going to break it and He's going to feed a multitude. But do you realize the little that you bring into this house of what you're doing? That you're not just impacting, oh, well, I just did that and I earned it this week and I brought it into the house of God. But you realize that you now partake of everything this church sows into, that you, when you get to heaven, are going to have a share of the 500,000 people that get fed, of the 142 nations that get reached through our ministry, of all the other missionary works that this church has supported, all the orphanages, all of the good works that are done in the streets, of all the souls that come here and give their hearts to Jesus. When you partake, you partner, you link together, you get a part. You will be rewarded. And the blessing of God will come upon you. And what we're doing as we are paying off this building is we're seeing down the generations and we're saying, we're going to seed into this church so that we can partake and partner with God. It may seem like a few loaves of bread and a few fish, but you know what? It's going to bring a church to a next generation. Every soul that gets won in this place, every soul that gets reached from this place and gets touched around the world, you're going to have a part. And you may seem like what you have is nothing. But let me tell you, a little in the hands of Jesus can touch the world. Amen? And so we partner with God. And that story, I challenge you to read it in John chapter 6. And just look at that scripture and look at what God did in that story. But you see how that little lad brought his sacrificial offering. And it's an interesting thing in the Bible that God always seems to say, what do you have? You know what? I'm going to look through our house. I'm going to say, let's take up all the, you know, let's do a garage sale. Let's do something. I know of one woman who just, you know, decided to do laundry. She lived in an apartment building and she said, I'll do people's laundry. And she when the people said, how much are you going to charge? She says, well, here's my offering here. I'm going to sow this into God's kingdom for the work of his, of what he wants to do. And people would just dump $10, $20 bills into there. In 3 years, she saved $42,000. And God told her to hold it till a certain night when a person came by that desperately needed that for orphanage work in Africa. And the Holy Spirit said, now, that's where it belongs. And she sowed it into that part, into the nations. But it's a matter of heart. And it's a matter of us lifting up our eyes and saying, God, we want to be a part. We want to link our hearts and our faith. And we want to bring maybe our little lunch. Let's put it in the hands of Jesus. And let's believe God for blessing. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen.